broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Speaking of live, we are absolutely live. We are live, ladies and gentlemen, at the Woodlands Resort in Woodlands, Texas, right outside of Houston. And we are at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association 26th of February public event in the year of our Lord, 2021. And man, have we got a lineup of speakers that'll knock your socks off. We got Palomino Moon, a country western Texas swing band, tonight performing. So they're gearing up and putting gear together and getting ready to go. We got speakers ready lined up for you, all kinds of educational topics, which, of course, we'll get to as the broadcast unfolds. And best of all, ladies and gentlemen, I brought Steve Stockman and his lovely wife, Patty, with me to the event. So they're here. Thank heavens. Thank God Almighty Steve is free. That's a wonderful piece of great news. So that's happening. We've just got a lot going on in the broadcast today. First off, a recap, then a guest, well, several guests throughout the broadcast as well today. This is the CSPOA event. If you want to learn more about it, and if you're near Woodlands and you want to head on over, CSPOA.org is where you go. And then all you got to do is click on, well, they've got it, where you can click on the registration form and you can register. Come on down and join us. If you can't make that, though, from what I understand, is they're broadcasting the event online. I might add that. For your, quote, viewing enjoyment is the best way to say it, I guess. So if you go to CSPOA.org and you can click, you can join. I think it's a couple of bucks to help us pay for the servers and all the connectivity and everything going on. But they are going to be broadcasting inside the event live. Now, this is a pretty cool venue, this place. I'll tell you about that as the broadcast unfolds, too. But first, we talked about Facebook says PragerU is fake news. PragerU.com. You know, Facebook is one of the biggest purveyors of fake news. Didn't they say in the 2016-2020 elections that Facebook was kind of responsible for a lot of the shenanigans and fake news being peddled by individuals, magnified by Facebook? And then, interestingly enough, they say the Capitol takeover that happened, or the whatever insurrection, or whatever they want to lie and claim that it was. That event, they also say Facebook kind of was the social media selection of choice to organize and plan all that. So Facebook is 10 times more guilty than anybody on the planet for any shenanigans going on in the country. Guys like me should be credited for promoting God, family, and country and protecting life, liberty, and property and being more peaceful than anybody else on the planet. But other than that, hey, we want a clarion call for civility. That's who we are. That's what we do. We believe in the rule of law. We believe in law and order. That's why we are at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association live convention event. There's people walking in left and right, signing up, getting checked in, getting their name badges. I got my name tag, and I brought my daughter with me, so we're having a great time and working hard. But Facebook saying Prager used fake news. Facebook lies. YouTube throttles WorldNet Daily, or WND, because they're supporting Mike Lindell, the MyPillow CEO guy. WND.com with a story. Whether you agree with Mike Lindell or not is not the point. Covering it in the news, the who, what, when, where, why of the news is absolutely important. And WND.com doing a great job. The folks over at YouTube, not liking that. They're not liking the truth, the who, what, when, where, why of stories. They want to have their own spin and manipulation on topics. Shame on YouTube. Shame on Google. Shame on Facebook and some of these big media giants, because they're perverting the news. They're peddling fake news while they claim we are. I mean, it's projection to the nth degree, ladies and gentlemen. Reject it, reject it, reject it is all I can say. Here's what we can do, ladies and gentlemen. We can honestly, accurately, and fearlessly shine a very bright journalistic light into all the growing darkness that is trying to overtake our beloved United States of America. Okay, we can focus that light on fraud, corruption, deceit, manipulation, fake news, dishonesty everywhere it's found, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get it done, shall we? That is precisely what Thomas Jefferson had in mind when he said the only security of all is in a free press. He understood that you got to have an honest, free, open, candid, truth-oriented press for a free society to continue. That's why these big tech folks don't want a free press, ladies and gentlemen. They can't control you when there's a free press, and that's why it's so vital that we are live and on your radio. We still intend, ladies and gentlemen, this is what WorldNet Daily is saying, but Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable Live, we agree. We still intend, as long as God Almighty allows us to exist as news organizations, to shout the truth from the rooftops, ladies and gentlemen, publish the truth from sea to shining sea. We fully intend to sound the alarm about their tyrannic attempts to take over America, and we will push back with the rule of law. We will push back with the checks and balances and expose their totalitarian efforts to create a tyranny. We won't allow their rigged elections. We won't allow their fake manipulated news in colleges. We won't allow them to pervert God's laws and the moral compass that made up America. De Tocqueville, that's Alexis de Tocqueville, said America's great because America's good. We're talking about a moral people. We're not talking about a perfect people. We're talking about a good, honest, moral people, and the country's great as a result. Now, if America turns its back on God, and if another nation turns to God, those other nations will be great, and we'll fail in our greatness, folks. It isn't about we're a perfect people. It isn't about race. It isn't about any of the lies told about us. It's about God, family, and country, and those who turn to those principles, those eternal, founding, fundamental principles, those people do well, and those who turn away from those principles simply melt down. It happens every time. Go look at history, because it repeats itself, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked about the Black Lives Matter BLM organization. Believe it or not, they recently shared with a screenshot of their bank account on social media, they received more than $90 million last year alone. Yeah, that's Associated Press with the details, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear me? Black Lives Matter BLM got $90 million last year alone, according to the Associated Press. That number is shocking, if you ask my humble opinion, ladies and gentlemen. And we struggle to rub two nickels together, huh? Imagine that in America. That was hour one, ladies and gentlemen, on Wednesday's broadcast. Thursday's broadcast, we were traveling, so we were not available, but we are now live on a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled Friday. We're taking back America one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, and we are broadcasting live from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association event in Woodlands, Texas, at the Woodlands Resort, ladies and gentlemen, CSPOA.org to learn more about it. If you want to go, sign up. If you want to watch it online, you can do the same at CSPOA.org. Second hour on Wednesday, we talked about Checkpoint Pelosi. Democrats consider permanent military-style barrier around the Capitol. Tony Perkins wrote this piece in the Washington Times. We broke it down in detail just for you on Wednesday's broadcast. Incredible authorship, if you will, by Tony Perkins. Family Research Council doing a phenomenal job, to say the least. We also talked about the flashback Joe Biden. Guy's a thug, man. Joe Biden was arrested. Did you know that, ladies and gentlemen? Joe Biden was arrested for illegally invading the United States Capitol years ago. He said, I walked up, sat down in the presiding officer's seat, and I promptly got arrested. He made the admission, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. In an interview in 2007 with David Letterman. Can you believe that stuff? And so now he's literally trashing everybody else, but he literally got arrested for invading the Capitol illegally. Joe Biden admits it. I've got the soundbite of that. We'll try to play that later in the broadcast as well. Trump to break silence, ladies and gentlemen. A major CPAC speech going on this weekend. CPAC will focus on the Republican Party, the future thereof, and the conservative movements, etc. And that's happening right now this weekend, too. So what an incredible weekend. Two highlighted events. The CPAC event going on. I guess it's down in Florida. Nobody wants to be in D.C. anymore, huh? And then we are live from the Woodlands, Texas Resort. Will Trump take over Rush Limbaugh's show? I don't know. I sure hope so, but I doubt it. But we can pray and hope, can't we? We can also hope he moves to the beautiful Olympic state of Utah and runs head-to-head with Mitt Romney. And then Donald Trump could become our next senator, and we could jettison the Republican neocon Mitt Romney. High-profile Trump allies eyed in Capitol probe Justice Department. Yep. The Justice Department says they're investigating Alex Jones and Roger Stone for ties to the, quote, insurrection with Donald Trump in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th. Again, I think it's bogus. I think nothing will stick on these guys. But I think they want to promote this because then they can just bring more and more and more aim at the conservatives, trying to basically displace us everywhere we are, shut us out of every conversation. They're into the cancel culture like you wouldn't believe, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you what. Now, there's a new poll out, by the way. Utahns, I don't know if you know, but Utahns have a college called Dixie State University. And, of course, Dixie's out because it's a bunch of racists in the South that would ever talk about Dixie, they claim. So now even in Utah, they're trying to change the name of the college, right? Dixie State, trying to get rid of the name. Bureaucrats want to do it, but they took a poll, and most Utahns are saying we would not change Dixie State. It has a rich historical reality, and race has nothing to do with it. Amen to that reality check. Charlie Daniels kicking into the mix. Our guest coming up, that's a recap of Wednesday's award-winning broadcast. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale. We are live. Our guest coming up from the CSPOA.org. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Live public event in Woodlands, Texas. That's today, Friday, February 26th, on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon, what's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, it doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we hadn't named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, broadcasting live, ladies and gentlemen, for the CSPOA. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association Conference. Incredible stuff, ladies and gentlemen. We are live from Woodlands, Texas. We got Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on the line. Welcome, my brother.
Well, good to be here with you, Sam. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we also have a guest with us, too. He's Lieutenant. Give me your name, sir. I don't know how to pronounce it.
It's Lieutenant Jeff Lykoff.
Hi, Lieutenant Jeff Lykoff, and you're from?
El Dorado County, California.
All right.
Northern California.
Oh, the good part.
The good part.
The safe part. Now, what do you think about that breakaway movement in California where Southern Oregon, Northern California say we're not getting proper representation? And is that stuff real or is it just talk?
We're talking about the state of Jefferson, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good movement. And, you know, again, people are just kind of growing tired of you know, some of the things going on out in California and our neck of the woods. And, you know, it's unfortunate that people in Southern California or you know, who's in charge in Southern California are making the rules for the Northern, you know, people in Northern California.
No doubt about it. Is the movement real, though? Is Jefferson a reality, or is it just going to be talk? I guess my question is, how do we make sure that people get appropriate representation? One is more members of Congress that would represent the people as kind of intended. Another way is to say, hey, let's have smaller states, smaller, quote, jurisdictional realities, right? And I think both have merit.
Absolutely. And I think it, I mean, I don't know a lot about it. I know enough about it, but I think it all comes down to money. And we have so much, you know, the timber industry, the water, everything comes, you know, everything's in Northern California. And I think, unfortunately, it's going to come down to money. I hope and pray it's not just talk. I would absolutely love to see that happen, because I don't think we get properly represented. I think who does represent us, I think they're fighting an uphill battle with as many representatives as there are representing Southern California and those districts down there. I think that our representatives are fighting an uphill battle.
I feel that way all over the country, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, tell me why you're here.
I'm here because I believe that we take an oath to protect life, liberty, and freedom. And I believe that, you know, the buck stops with the local county sheriff. And we have to have our sheriffs. So we need leadership. We need faith-based, strong leadership that, you know, goes back to, you know, God and country, family. And I like what Sheriff Mack, I had the opportunity to hear him speak here a while back, and I love what he stands for, and the constitutional sheriffs of America. I mean,
What's funny, Lieutenant, that I find is that when people just hear about Richard Mack and they hear the mainstream press's unfair kind of assessment, you kind of think, what? These guys are wild-eyed radicals. When you really hear what Richard Mack has to say, when you really assess his Supreme Court win over Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court, when you really look him in the eye and shake his hand, you get a real picture. You get the real Richard Mack, don't you?
Absolutely. He's a good man, and you know, he started a movement, and we need to listen. Our founding forefathers, when they wrote all the, you know, the things that we adhere to, they kept it simple. And you know, that's what I heard in his message is, you know, we need to go back to what they wrote. We don't need the government's intrusion in our lives all the time. They don't know what's best for me. They don't know what's best for my family. That should be for me to decide.
In other words, they're not local. They're not on the ground. They're not dealing with the day-to-day issues. They're not really aware of what's happening. And certainly we expect the federal government to protect the borders. We certainly expect them to have contracts honored. There's a few things that they can do, but they're far and few between is the point. So I'm on the CSPOA, I don't know what you want to say, planning committee. I'm the operations manager for the CSPOA, or vice president of operations is my title. And I bring this up because when we were in planning some of these conferences over the years that we've done, we kind of said, hey, what is the most important topic this go-round? What issue of all other issues, Sam, do you think, and Tanya and Richard Mack and several of us, Rick Dalton, our vice president, what topic is the most important topic, by golly? There's so many. It's a rich target area, no doubt about it. But what topic? And so, Jeff, I ask you this question, Lieutenant Jeff. What would be the most important topic in your mind that needs to be covered and addressed?
Yeah, I think it's twofold for me. I mean, obviously, the COVID epidemic and our government, you know, the way they've handled that, down to even local government. And as well, I mean, another important thing for me is, you know, getting forecasting and what's coming down the pike. And this H.R. 127 that's coming down the pike is scary.
Give me a quick H.R. 127.
It's Universal Gun Registry, and they're gonna want to.
It's gun registry in the kitchen sink, huh?
They're going to want to know if that gun is in the kitchen sink, where you keep that gun in your house, and that's going to be a matter of public record.
Ooh, yikes. All right, what do we do to stop it, Jeff? What's the solution?
We got to get people together. We got to let our you know, government people in charge and our governments to hear our voice, that everybody's got to step up. This is a this law is ludicrous. I mean, it's crazy.
Amen to that. All right, Lieutenant Jeff, you have a guy on the line who's with the Campaign for Liberty. His name is Lowell Nelson. So he's with us as well as my guest. He's a co-host, really, of the broadcast Mondays and Fridays. Lowell, do you have a question for Lieutenant Jeff from California? When are you going to ask a California lieutenant details about the state of Jefferson proposals and gun control and everything else, right, Lowell?
That's right. It's a rare opportunity, Lieutenant. We appreciate your being on the show this morning. You know, everybody in the nation thinks of California as being one mass of people out there, all liberals, all, you know, but that's not the case. Yeah, obviously you live there. Can you give us some evidence or maybe some anecdotes of some of the great freedom, liberty-minded things that are happening there in California, particularly Northern California? I'm excited, obviously, about the State of Jefferson movement, and I'd be a great supporter, yes, a great fan of that movement. What are some other things that are going on there in California that will give us hope as a country, knowing that we've got great people in California leading this effort?
I think we got, you know, great local leadership when it comes to that Northern California region. We have, you know, some of my concerns, you know, why do decisions for all of California, and I'm going to give you, you know, a couple examples that I've heard about, talked about, you know, smog down in Southern California. Well, why does the state get to impose, you know, smog laws on people in Northern California, you know, especially these guys that are up there trying to make a living in the logging industry? Why do they get to decide that, hey, these logging trucks have to be retrofitted, most of them, you know, with all these new smog deals, equipment, and it's expensive. And these guys are just trying to, you know, go out and make a living and earn for their family and take care of their families. But we have, you know, people, because of the smog in Southern California, guys are up in the mountains logging. There's no smog up there. They shouldn't have to worry about that. You know, water rights on farms up in Northern California. Why should Southern California be able to impose, or the senators or whoever's making the laws up down there, why do they get to impose the water laws and water right laws on farmers and ranchers in Northern California? There's a lot of stuff that's going on. There's probably more than I even know, but that, you know, we have great leadership. You know, I think one of the best sheriffs in the country, if not the best.
Who your sheriff is, Lieutenant.
My sheriff is Sheriff John DeAugustini, phenomenal man. And we need guys like him that are doing the things that he's doing locally. And stepping up.
What they really do is protect and defend. What they really do is provide a check and balance, don't they?
Absolutely. They defend the Constitution. Our agency is required. I mean, he's required. He requires us to walk around on duty with a little booklet about that Constitution in our pockets. And not only carry it around, but understand what it means. And that's what, you know, resonated with me and Sheriff Mack when I heard him speak here a while back was, you know, a lot of people, we in law enforcement, we swear, you know, we stand up and raise our right hand. We swear to protect the Constitution, and we take that oath. But then there's not much that goes back into that. And I actually read a quote, you know, where he's writing about that. And we don't do enough, I think, to keep that at the forefront. And know, and law enforcement, that's why we're out there doing the job.
It starts with education, then it turns into commitment, and then people take an oath that we expect them to uphold.
Absolutely. We're not out there. We're there to serve and protect.
All right.
We're not out there. We're not. And, you know, again, in law enforcement, we're not out there to bully and take people to jail. We're out there to serve and protect.
All right. Stay there, Jeff. Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org with me. Lieutenant Jeff, say your last name, sir.
Lykoff.
Lykoff with me. And you are listening to Liberty Roundtable live from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association Conference, CSPOA.org. You can watch it online. Hang tight, everybody. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An airstrike by the United States targeted facilities near the Syrian-Iraq border used by Iranian-backed militia groups. The strike came more than a week after a rocket attack in northern Iraq killed a civilian contractor and wounded a U.S. service member. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo criticized the airstrike in eastern Syria late Thursday, saying it should have targeted something that threatened the United States of America. A divided House on Thursday passed a bill that would extend civil rights protections to prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, but the measure faces an uphill battle. The legislation passed 224 to 206 along party lines and stands a small chance of drawing enough support in the Senate to advance. House Democrats will leave a provision to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour in their version of the COVID-19 relief package set for a vote on Friday, despite the measure does not comply with budgetary rules. USA Radio News.
Can you really believe the news? So much spin. Americans just don't trust big media. And if you're really tired of the old news, check out Newsmax TV, the fastest growing network in America. It's on all major cable systems. Each night, watch Newsmax TV and see big shows with Sean Spicer, Greg Kelly, Lindsey Keith, Stinchfield, and Rob Schmidt. They're exposing Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi's surprising agenda. So tune into Newsmax anytime. If your cable doesn't carry it, call them and tell them you can go to another service that does. Or you can download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. It's free, and you can watch it anywhere in the world. Newsmax is also free on TVs like Samsung, LG, and Vizio. And millions of people watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Pluto, Zumo, Apple TV, and more. There's a reason 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV all the time. Check it out today. Newsmax is real news for real people.
The embattled governor of New York, Democrat Andrew Cuomo, is now facing sexual harassment charges. Phoenix, USA Radio News Bureau's Tim Berg reports.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is again calling for an investigation into allegations lodged against Governor Andrew Cuomo. This time it's for sexual harassment claims from a former Cuomo aide. Lindsay Boylan making the detailed accusations that Cuomo sexually harassed her in an essay yesterday. The White House agrees with de Blasio.
When a person comes forward, they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. Their voice should be heard, not silenced.
Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
Governor Cuomo is also accused of thousands of deaths in New York nursing homes by his COVID mandates. As President Biden's bloated $1.9 trillion stimulus package heads for a vote Friday, it's already off to a bad start. The Senate parliamentarian ruled that a plan to gradually increase the federal minimum wage does not follow the rules that govern budget bills in the Senate. This is USA Radio News.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. And we've got Brad Rogers with us, former sheriff of what? Elkhart County?
Yes.
Indiana?
Yes.
All right, talk right into your mic, though. You got to kiss it there, Brad.
Okay, I got it.
There you go, Sheriff. All right, hey, Lowell Nelson, you got Brad Rogers, probably one of the most well, I shouldn't say probably. It's debatable. The most constitutional? It's hard because it's Richard Mack and then Sheriff Brad Rogers, right? But one of the most constitutional sheriffs in the country who put his money and his time and his credibility and his oath all on the line from Elkhart, Indiana. Brad Rogers, welcome, sir.
Hey, Sam. Good to be with you today.
Lowell, do you got a question for Brad?
Well, wonderful, Brad. I applaud you and your efforts there in Indiana and across the nation because you are setting an example for sheriffs and peace officers across the nation. My question for you this morning, Brad, is you know, there's a transition that has been happening in law enforcement across the country for years now, and it's the transition from peace officer to law enforcement, agent of the government, essentially. And this transformation has been very subtle over the years, but it's becoming increasingly, shall we say, egregious or overt, I think, where the politicians, they want you to be armed to the teeth like a man from the military, like a combat zone, going into your communities and ruling like, you know, jackbooted thugs, rather than being a peace-loving, you know, peace-promoting gentleman of the neighborhood. Can you just talk about that a little bit and what you're doing there in Indiana to restore or retain, you know, the peace officer image among your people?
Sure. You make a good point. And I've always been, I grew up, I was in law enforcement for 34 years and always viewed it as being a peace officer. But you're right, it is subtle. It is something that's creeping in. And it all, I think, centers around that if the law enforcement officer now today, the peace officer that they're supposed to be, they're under the impression that if there is a law on the books, that they need to enforce it. Well, that's not what our oath of office says. And our founding fathers, of course, we all know that they made everyone who was an elected official or public servant take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States and wherever you live of that state. And so it's stuff that's creeped in, and we need leaders like the sheriffs that are here at CSPOA and myself that will continue to speak out and set an example that it's not about law enforcement. It's about keeping your oath and really striving for peace. And, you know, if you think about the federal government that went into the Bun Ranch area to round up cattle, they came in with their SWAT team. And as a sheriff, if I got a court order to round up cattle, I wouldn't need a SWAT team. I'd just go to the farmer and say, hey, how can we peacefully resolve this? And they didn't even venture to do that. Now, you know, I'm not even saying that, you know, the situation with the cows or anywhere on a court order is right or wrong. That's not my job to determine that. But the fact is we need to be peace officers, and we shouldn't govern at the point of a gun. Now, we want our officers to be, I think, well-armed. We certainly don't want to have them massacred on the streets and things of that nature. We want them to have the right tools, but they need to have the right mentality and the right attitude in this process. So that's what CSPOA and Richard Mack and myself strive to do, and that's why I continue to do this. Even as I'm a retired sheriff, I'm now a county commissioner in the same county, but I still come to these events and tell my stories and let them know that it is possible to be a peace officer.
Now, let's be clear. You're a commissioner now. Do you also work with the sheriff's department as a captain?
No, I've totally retired on December 31st. I took office January 1st as a county commissioner. I won the election back in the fall against a 16-year incumbent. And so it's...
Thank the heavens for that, my friend.
It's good to have... good to be back in the public service and elected official. I was a captain for the last 2 years after I, of course, was term limited as sheriff in Indiana. So it's good to be back as an elected official and once again defending that oath.
Is the county commissioner a full-time position?
It is. It's probably not as front line as a sheriff it can be, but you know, a lot of the policies and support of the sheriff's office, you know, ordinances and just the mindset of the state and federal tyranny that we can stand in the gap for is certainly there.
Lowell, so hopefully he answered your question. You got a good follow-up for him?
Yeah, the follow-up is I'm delighted that you're in more of a legislative capacity now. How do you, but you know, leaving the office of sheriff, I'm sure that the liberty-loving folks there in Indiana worried that, boy, we had a great sheriff for two great terms. Now what's going to happen? Can you address the, you know, how do you groom somebody or did you groom, you know, did you train the people, you know, your deputies and so forth to follow in your footsteps? And how did you go about that? What did you do to ensure that the next sheriff in your county was going to be a liberty-loving sheriff like yourself?
Well, that's a great question. And the first thing I did was set the example. So when I went up against the FDA, I'll tell that story today, but if you want to just Google that, put Sheriff Brad Rogers FDA, and you'll see a lot of stories about that. But when I went up against the federal government, and then I went up against a local mayor, and he was going to shut off people's sewers, and I took a stand against that because he didn't provide any due process. Again, protecting people's rights. A sheriff not only protects people from criminals in some cases, but they protect people from overreaching government. And so the current sheriff in Elkhart County was actually a captain underneath me, and he saw all that happen. And so I think that set the tone for him to come in as a constitutional sheriff. He might not be in as much in your face as I would have been, but he's definitely seems to be, you know, setting the right tone and keeping that, you know. For example, I'll give you just one quick example that a lot of this with COVID nonsense, this mask mandate, he's took a stand. He said, I'm not going to enforce this mandate. And so, you know, they wanted law enforcement to cite people, arrest people for it in our county before I became commissioner, of course. And he refused to do so. And so he's taken a stand on that. So the other side of that is that, again, the oath of office, we need to focus on that. We don't teach the Constitution, it seems, in public school as much as we should, probably. And the oath of office, I mean, when I took over as sheriff, we had the oath of office was new employees would go walk across the street to the clerk's office, and the county clerk, which there's no dishonor with a county clerk giving you the oath, but the sheriff wasn't there. There was no family there. It was just a private ceremony where the clerk told you to raise your right hand, and then you signed the oath of office paperwork with a pen with a plastic flower attached to it, and there was no pomp and circumstance to it, and it just set the wrong signal for what the oath of office is about. So when I became sheriff, and the current sheriff has continued this, is you have it in a courtroom with maybe a circuit court judge or you know, a judge that is presiding over the county, and you have the new employees come in with their families, and they are allowed to take pictures because you got that cleared through the judge ahead of time. You got the media there. You do a press release. It's a big deal, and they realize that it's, you know, you don't raise your right hand and say, I promise to write speeding tickets and put bad guys in jail. Oh, yeah, that's part of our job sometimes. But quite frankly, the oath, uphold and protect the United States Constitution, and in our case, the Indiana Constitution. So help me
and,
God.
And that might mean putting somebody in jail, but it also might mean preventing somebody from going to jail, right?
Indeed. I agree. And that's what I've set the tone for, and hopefully that spark, that lighting of that candle will continue to burn into the future. And as I continue as an executive and legislative branch of county government, I hope to continue to extend that into other areas of county government.
Brad Rogers, thank you so much, my friend.
Sam, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Former sheriff, ladies and gentlemen, county commissioner, currently elected, both times serving America. Elkhart County, Indiana, for what, 30-plus years, doing a phenomenal job. We appreciate him. Lowell, any final thoughts?
Just appreciate all you're doing, and I hope that our young listeners, those who are seeking a career in law enforcement, will listen well to and watch the example of Sheriff Brad Rogers and Richard Mack, Sheriff Richard Mack. And understand that, you know, everybody is on a spectrum of understanding about their role as a peace officer, and understanding that clearly can be done by studying what these guys are doing, what they're writing, what they're saying, how they're speaking about it, as you prepare yourself to serve your fellow man in your county.
Well, we come back in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, breaks down Kristi Noem's response to the oil pipeline shut down by Whacked Out Joe. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. With me, I am live from the CSPOA conference, CSPOA.org. Check it out. All kinds of guests coming up next hour as well on the broadcast live from the event. Meanwhile, though, we got to get an update from Christy Noem, her response to this oil pipeline. Tremendous response, Lowell.
Yeah, well, Joe Biden, he pulled the permits on the Keystone Pipeline soon after his inauguration, and that really stopped the work in South Dakota, work on the pipeline, just ground to an absolute halt. Huge, huge number of job losses there in the state. And the reason South Dakota is on our radar is because Christy Noem, the governor, Christy Noem there, is one of the few governors in our country who refused to lock her state down in light of the COVID, the so-called pandemic, which is really not a pandemic at all. But she did not choose to lock down her state. And so I've been watching her really closely. And so her response to the Keystone Pipeline shutdown, I was curious to know how she responded to that. And on this YouTube video, her news conference with Fox News that happened just a couple of weeks ago, I missed it at the time, but last night listened to it. She talked about the benefits of the Keystone Pipeline, about the fact that it would provide energy more safely. You know, transporting the oil via pipeline is a lot safer than transporting it on truck overland, because those trucks, if they spill, if they have a wreck, I mean, it's damaging to the environment. The pipeline provides that energy more safely, and it results in lower prices, and it's better for the environment. I mean, I thought the Keystone Pipeline was something way up in Alaska or in the Arctic Ocean or something, but you know it's right here in one of our states, South Dakota. So, I guess my question for you, Sam, is why, and it'd be for Governor Noem too, is why not just keep working on the pipeline? Despite the fact that you don't have permits, since when does the general government, stop a state from doing something in their geographic boundaries that they want to do? That's the question we should be asking. Why would a state acquiesce to the order of a general government who has no jurisdiction over them? The state is the sovereign, not the general government, right? The states are the ones who got together, formed a compact with one another, wrote the U.S. Constitution to enable a general government to do very specific certain things for them, for the state. And it's upside down when this general government can tell a state what to do. That just doesn't make sense, Sam. And so,
Lowell, I find that interesting. This question is, why shouldn't they continue with something's good for their state? After all, they're sovereign. I know you mentioned that, but I want to kind of hammer that point home for a second.
Yeah, that's exactly the question. I want Christy Noem to take charge. Is the state of South Dakota not a sovereign state? And if they truly believe that they're sovereign, then they should simply continue work on the Keystone Pipeline. It's going to benefit their state. It's going to benefit surrounding states because they'll be able to sell that energy to surrounding states. It's empowering to the people of South Dakota because it provides jobs. It allows them to continue living where they live, earning a livelihood, providing for their families. It's a win-win situation there. I don't want South Dakota to stop working on the Keystone Pipeline just because the general government doesn't think they ought to. The general government should be taking orders from the state, not the other way around, Sam.
Well, and they have dual sovereignty, too. So if you read the Constitution, there are designated responsibilities for all jurisdictions and branches of government, whether it be vertical or horizontal, in its checks and balances. So maybe they ought to keep that constitutional law-abiding reality check in mind would be my statement on the topic. Our prayers are with Christy Noem and those who are trying to do the very best they can to fight federal tyranny, that's for sure. Action alert, ladies and gentlemen. Stop the con. Con, lol.
Yes, you know, we're blessed in Utah this year, apparently. We don't have a con site in our legislature. But if you live in the states of South Dakota or in Montana or in New Hampshire, then you have a battle on your hands because there are people in your state legislature speaking and pushing for this Article 5 Constitution. I'm sorry, Article 5 Convention, and it really must be stopped. So basically, if you have a pen and paper, if you live in Montana, then call your state representative and tell them to oppose H.J. 13. If you're in New Hampshire, call your state rep, tell them to oppose H.C.R. 1. And if you're in South Dakota, the great state of Governor Christy Noem there, call your state senator and demand that they oppose Senate Joint Resolution 502. And, you know, the con's just a bad idea, Sam. You and I have talked about that numerous times on Liberty Roundtable. Perhaps we don't need to get into it. But basically, it's people who want to trash the current Constitution and rewrite, basically, a new Constitution, which they won't follow either. If they can't follow the current one, what hope do we have of their following a new one? And one, you know, if they write a new one, it's going to be far worse, have fewer protections for the liberty of the people than the current one, Sam.
And let's make this very clear, Lowell. We know that this is happening all over the country. These are not the only states that we need to worry about this in. These are just the states that are right now pressing hard, and we need to basically have an alert action to say, you know what, stop it now, right?
That's exactly right, Sam. Yeah, these are the three states where the activity is fomenting right now, but there's always something you can do. No matter what your state is, chances are you live in a state that passed a resolution to have a conventional, an Article 5 convention. And if that's the case, then please work to rescind that call. Get that off the books so that Congress is not going to make that call. Because once they make the call for an Article 5 convention, then pretty much you can't do anything about it.
They lie and claim you can never take it back, Law. You can, but they press very hard and make you believe that you've already committed and that you can't back out and change your mind. So that's the lie that's being told. Nevertheless, it's very, very hard to stop the con because it's a con. And their deceptive reality around that is very, very difficult for folks to kind of understand. We also have another action alert. Ladies and gentlemen, stop the crony capitalism. That's just as high on the list, isn't it?
It's very high on the list. That's happening right now in the U.S. House. Probably today, the U.S. House will vote on Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package. This is billed as a COVID relief package, but it is chock full of pork, special interest bailouts, crony capitalism. 591-page bill is just chock full of all the stuff that you don't want. And, for example, this bill would give $129 billion to schools, whether they reopen or not. It also calls for the $15 minimum wage within the next 4 years. So it's going to be detrimental to people everywhere in the country. And I just please ask you, our listeners, to call your U.S. representative today and tell them to stop the way, stop this bill. Vote no on the $1.9 trillion stimulus package. And, you know, really, Sam, if there's anything that would truly stimulate the economy, it would be to open it up and you know, end the lockdowns, this unscientific, tyrannical restriction on business here in our state. Sam?
All right, Lowell, in Utah, we talked about this last week. We'll talk about it again a little bit more, but give an update. Preserving female sports, another Utah bill. This is happening in states across the country as well. Give a quick update where we are on that, sir.
That went to the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. It held had a hearing on that bill this week, earlier this week. And then the members of the committee voted to hold that bill. In other words, they were not comfortable enough with it to pass it out with a favorable recommendation. So citizens in Utah need to call members of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. There's only about eight of them, and insist that they get this bill moving. That's HB 302, to prevent males from competing in female sports as transgendered athletes. It's very dangerous. We've talked about the dangers of that on this show before. You get a male who's bigger, stronger, and faster competing with females. It just takes away the opportunities for the female athletes, and it can endanger the female athletes if you're in a contact sport where you've got a big bruising male body coming at you. That could very much endanger. You know, what's it going to take before maybe a lawsuit? Maybe somebody gets hurt. Maybe some girl gets killed by a male athlete who claims that he identifies as a female. What's it going to take before we stop this madness, Sam?
That's well, especially if they start to throw in football and rugby, lol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about, you know, it's already brutal for a man getting a concussion when they get nailed by a serious, you know, somebody who basically has a blitz the line and the quarterback gets nailed. Just imagine if it's a girl that gets nailed. I'm not saying girls aren't great people. I'm just saying it's not the same, my friend. And it's bad enough for males when they get nailed in some of these sports, too. They're already brutal enough is the point, right?
That's right. So, you know, this is a great bill. There's probably one in a legislature near you. They're all over the country, in fact. The people want this law, and the bureaucrats, they don't want it, right? Because they hear the screaming 1 or 2 or 3% of the population screaming for transgender rights, and they're, you know, they're kowtowed by them. Well, that's because you and I are not making a loud enough clamor for common sense law. This is a common sense law. You don't mix men and women in the same physical sport. You just don't do that. And that's what 80% of the people.
Amen
in the
to that. We'll keep beating on that too, Lowell. We appreciate your time on that. Last issue I want to get to before the end of the hour. On Monday, we'll talk more about vaccinations and 31 plus reasons why we won't take them and et cetera, et cetera. Meantime, though, I want to finish on Utah's move to rename Dixie State University. The bureaucrats want it. The people don't, Lowell.
That's right. Another common sense, the proposed law is not common sense. They want to rename Dixie State University because of the connotations of the word Dixie with slavery. Well, you know, this is a slippery slope, Sam. If we erase Dixie from the state of Utah, then you know, we're also going to erase Robert E. Lee. We're going to erase some of the greatest people of our country. Talk about George Washington, the father of our republic. He was a man of the South. Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence. So he grew up in Virginia. That's the South. That's south of the Mason-Dixon line. James Madison, father of the Constitution. Sam, if we erase these people from our history, then we will be rudderless. We will not be able to look back at our history and find the character, the love of country that these great Southerners brought to the table. Dixie is.
I only have one answer for this, Lowell Nelson. You ready?
Yep.
Not on my watch, my friend.
I love it, Sam. Hey,
we appreciate you, sir. We'll have you back Monday. We'll keep those headlines, too. We'll talk about the vaccines on Monday. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome, Sam. Good to be with you.
Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. You are live from CSPOA.org conference on your radio.